So I wrote a book called The Letter Code, and it is a classification system for figuring out your love code, why you love the way you love. Now, if you love your work, of course your letter code is going to show up in that context. Today, Julie and I talk about her as a why at work, what triggers her, what triggers other people, and the professional development shift that happened from being achievement-focused to being people-oriented. I'm looking forward to also talking about how H's work, how A's work, how W's work, when they absolutely are invested and love what they do. You'll quickly hear how we are best friends, how we have this banter, how I ask tough questions, and how we're figuring it out in the middle of things.
Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast, where Dr. Crystal White and her comrades guide us to bring more wholeness, energy, and connectivity to our professions. We're ready, Crystal. Get us started.
Hey, Julie.
Hello.
I'm super happy that we're doing a podcast together on the...
In the car again.
In the car. That's exactly what I need to set it up with and say, Julie and I are parked in my car, and it's been about a year since we've been in the Volvo, but our last two podcasts were in motion. Maybe three podcasts were in motion, two times in my Volvo and one time in your Volvo. So we kind of like the studio of our Volvo.
Talking in the car.
Absolutely. So thank you for coming on the Executive Shaman Podcast. And at the beginning of every episode, I ask people, what do you really do for a living?
I don't do what my job title is most of the day. I think I solve problems and I try to move people forward.
Thanks.
Yeah.
The next question is, why did you say yes to this?
Because you're hard to say no to.
Oh!
And I also am dedicated to this idea of people being better at home and at work. And I think the message is helpful in all of those cases. Helps move people forward.
I am flattered that I am hard to say no to. I think the person that says no to me the best is you, baby.
I do like some boundaries.
This idea of boundaries, something that I struggle with personally, professionally, spiritually, on every level is my core issue. Mm-hmm. How far do I go? How slow do I go? And I believe that I'm in relationship with you right now in the season of my life to amplify the construction of conscious, empowered boundaries.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm grateful for your no's to me as much as your yeses. But in this context, I'm really happy you said yes. Because first, it's a win for me to have these conversations with you. It feels good, feels right, feels fun. It feels like I'm growing. And two, the conversation is not just about concepts, but hopefully it's also skill building, right? And that's how we still build skills as adults. We practice doing what we think about, and we think in terms of conversations.
Scripts.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about this at another time, the idea of stories and scripts, but language is absolutely powerful in shaping our intentions and our visualizations, which turn into practice. Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
No, I think the stories that we tell ourselves either propel us forward or hold us back.
Yeah. So here you're in the podcast, you're going to hear some stories as leaders that are aimed to empower you and bring a sense of wholeness and integrity internally, and then also to move it externally for the good and not for
evil.
Yeah, not for just evil, not for your own gain. So, all right. So today we're going to talk about whys and how whys show up at work. So what do you know about why, the letter Y?
From your frame of reference?
Yeah, for any.
So I think the most important thing about whys well, how I interpret the why is that we're stronger together than we are apart. We're capable of being apart, but that long leg of the why, the single branch of the why before it bifurcates and you have two pieces of the why, that's the stalk of the why. That's where the strength comes from.
Yeah.
And it's okay to go out and do your own thing because you're perfectly capable to stand on your own, but you're stronger because your partner is also doing the same thing.
Yeah. So we're referring to the letter code, and in the letter code, it is four classifications of how you love and why you love the way you love. And why is the third letter, not in terms of rank, but in terms of just when it was presented in the book. And the why, if you think about visually what a why looks at like, and they stand with, united, co-joined with their lover or their romantic partner. And then once that is firmly established, which that root and branch and trunk is formed and it's solid, that's when you branch away and you can explore. And you are more together, majority of the time you're together, and the exception is that you branch away or you differentiate. So anything that you want to say about that core need?
The core need to branch or the core need to be good? I mean, I think...
I love that you just said both.
It's both. Yeah, yeah, it's both.
Either one.
Because I think when you physically write a why, not the why in the font that you have in the book, but like the why I sent you the picture of. Yeah. So I sent you a picture of like a lowercase y.
Lowercase, yeah.
It really is... I think of it as like two lines joined and then they go apart.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be one line on your own. I am perfectly capable of going out into the world and doing whatever I need to do to be successful and accomplish my goals. With the other part of my why, I can do so much more than I can do on my own.
Yeah.
And I think this is particularly my philosophy also in the workplace, because when you have that synergy of a team, you can absolutely move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm perfectly capable of pushing rocks up the hill, but I can't move the whole mountain by myself.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Yeah. So somebody that knows me really well looked at what a why looks like and says, oh, you're a why, because on the why we chose mountains to be on there.
Mm.
It looks like Zermatt,
mm-hmm.
truly,
mm-hmm.
because this is inspired some about you. You're solid fucking team player, and if people don't play on the team, that's like a no-go for you.
Right. It's really it is like cuts me to the core, especially if someone's dishonest or they sabotage whatever the team is, the mission in some way, even by just not being present and showing up, which is probably the worst way, because like that's the most insidious type of sabotage.
Yeah.
Because it's like low burner sabotage. It's not like they do something that's so overt that everybody can see it. It just makes me insane.
Yeah.
Totally crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't get it too, because mm-hmm. if for me, it feels good to be in partnership with other people, even if I'm the leader. So quite frequently I walk into the room and I'm the leader, even if mm-hmm. I'm not, right? There's just kind of like this looking around of people to see who's going to be the leader, and I step into that void. I try not to. That's my own personal work, to try not to step into the mm-hmm. void all the time. But I'm capable of stepping into the void. But I don't want to be there by myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring people with me. And I think that's the power of the why, is to know that you can do it on your own, but you can do more with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The beauty of the letter code is like you doesn't define you as an individual. It defines like how you show up in your most meaningful partnerships. And I was pleasantly surprised, and it fit when you turned out to be a why, because things clicked together for me. Like, oh yeah, like it's easy for me to step into the role of best friend with you because it just fits to a T. Like we click together. We had this whole like, you know, I want to be good giving and game with you. I have this unspoken rule to almost have a verbal conversation with you every day, to text, you know, in with you every day, to you want to know who my people are and to build a relationship with them. I want you to kind of know who my people are so you can build a relationship with them. And that is a need of yours, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of neat for me to see it in a love realm. But thinking about it in the work realm, what awareness do you have about a trigger that you might have working with a partner that you really want to connect with? It's not like a person that you don't want to connect with.
Right.
A person that you want to connect with and build a relationship with and have that synergy. What's a trigger for you that they do or you think that they think or don't do that puts you into a position of like losing energy, being drained?
It's a good question. Well, along with my particular brand of whyness is a certain level of intensity. Like, I'm pretty intense. As the vet told me the other night, you're kind of a lot to manage.
Manage, yeah.
Yeah. So when people are kind of like half present and I know they're capable of so much more, then I struggle to not push them into that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of really maximizing their potential. Like, I know you could do more.
Mm-hmm.
I know you could do more. I know you could. But sometimes you have to, like, take a step back and let them come to you. And that's, for me, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
The silence is sometimes more powerful than the pushing forward.
Well, particularly for you, because you have such a powerful voice and you speak with passion. So silence for you is powerful because you allow then emotions to fill in the space of what you usually words do.
Yeah.
And the trigger for lots of whys, and meaning that whys need unity, whys need a sense of teamness, and whys need you to show up for us, for the we, for the mission that we have together. And if they believe that you are showing up for the you, the me, this, you know, not taking care of yourself, but like really only being inward focused, whys just get triggered like that. And when somebody's not present,
mm-hmm.
especially at work, like, you know, I can hear you say this, maybe you haven't said it, but we're paying you to be part of a team.
A lot of people are paying you to be part of that team.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're getting paid and you've agreed to be part of a work team, especially in the position and the place that you work. It's mm-hmm. a pro-social,
yep.
you know, non-profit organization. So you're getting paid to be part of the bigger team. And when you fail in that role, or you don't show up, or you show up, you know, for yourself or only partially present, it's either like get off the team or be on it. It's black and white.
Right. Right. And again, for me, it's the intensity, because you can push back. There should be controversy. There should be some grit that creates the oyster. Everything doesn't have to be copacetic all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the uncomfortable often comes the best innovation. I don't want people to just say, you're right, you're right, you're right. I hate that. Like, argue with me. Why am I wrong? You know, push back. Be the other side of the V that makes up the Y.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll just mull you over and then I'm not interested at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you get just, you feel disrespected when somebody isn't themselves with you, but also just isn't present in the fight.
Right. Isn't present in the fight.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you're like, that's me too, that's a lot of us. Most human beings want to be around other people who are excited to be with them.
Right.
And are like engaged, right? Like, oh, when you're in the room, I pay attention more, or it makes me want to be inspired to do more for the us. And that's a key facet that people want in their leaders, is to be interested, to be inspired, to be motivated, to be validated. And most of us want leaders that evoke that in us. It's just for a why, that is the most important thing. And it does take a front burner, forward-focused priority in the leader's life, is to create a strong, unified team, all working towards the same usness, right?
Right.
And some other leaders and some other love codes don't have that priority. It's so prominent. They still want it. It's still a value. It's just not the most important thing. So give me an example of a time where you forgot this priority in your life, or you lost focus of how important being a unified teammate was.
The first 15 years of my career, like, I really thought if I was just smart and did my job well, that everything would be fine. I didn't need other people. Mm. Okay, so maybe not the first 15, maybe the first 12. I don't know. It was an awareness that I came to that, although I learned pretty early on about the out of the controversy comes growth. I learned that pretty early on because I didn't have a choice. But I think the we're better together than we are apart was really probably in the last 6 years, 7 years, maybe something here when things are really, really so sparse and kind of difficult mm-hmm. that you just can't do it on your own. Or I just had this awakening that like I was really unhappy in my leadership role and it was very top down. I had kind of bought into the hierarchical system of the organization and I was really doing position-based leadership. And when I kind of stepped back from that and realized like the relationships that I had with people, regardless of their job title, that worked the best were the ones where I had relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. I got the most out of those people and they got the most out of me because we had a connection. Then it was like, I couldn't get enough of it. So it was just, how do I create those connections with people? All with the intent of not only just moving the mission forward, because of course that's, you know, a priority in an organization, but also moving the people forward. Mm-hmm. How do I get somebody who works in my office who doesn't, you know, who is struggling to get through their undergraduate degree to finish their undergraduate degree and move on to a higher position? Before, I wouldn't have really seen that as part of my job to develop those people outside of what their job was in the office. But now I do.
Yeah. There's something happening in our workplaces culturally where we're snapping out of that need to achieve some standard, some status, some positions, or some salaries. And now we're really getting focused on creating a culture that is people oriented and that those relational connections are just as diverse as I would say achievement, status, and goals, right?
It feels better.
It feels better.
The energy is totally different when you have people that are interconnected on a personal level outside of the way their specific jobs interact.
Yeah. You know, part of the executive shaman is that shamans really interconnect separate parts together, whether it's internally or with nature or in our relationships. It brings like this wholeness and this integrity to it. So there's something that happened in your life as a leader after you achieve a certain amount of success where you really turn inward and in order to turn outward.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What helped you make that shift, just that starting to feel that shift and then has helped you on that journey? What are some disciplines or patterns or themes that you've seen in your life that have helped you?
Well, I think two big things. One, I did things outside of work that made me acutely uncomfortable. Right? So, okay, here's where I go on the CrossFit tangent. But I started CrossFit.
Yeah.
It is not something that, I don't care who you are, unless you, that's what you do every day, you're not going to be good at it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I put myself in a situation where I was really bad at something.
Yeah.
And it had been a long time since I had been bad at something, mm-hmm. since I had allowed myself to do something that I wasn't great at. Mm-hmm. And it was humbling, but it also made me realize about the community around me and how I needed that.
Yeah.
And once you have
vulnerability.
That, yeah, the vulnerability. And the vulnerability, the okay with not do being good at something, like being bad at something.
Yeah.
I just said this twice, but
yeah.
Again.
That was okay.
It was okay. And so I was more tolerant of risk.
Yeah. absolutely. And you're aware of it, too. Because, you know, like when you're growing up and you're in your teens or your 20s, you suck at a lot of things. And you're conscious of your incompetence. And when you look at leaders in their transitions, there are some people that just stay unconscious of their incompetence. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that drive you, Miss Julie, and, yeah. right? Insane. And I think to me, to a certain extent. But then there's more power, it's higher positional empowerment to go from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence. Mm-hmm. Whether it's CrossFit, nobody tells you this, but I'll just say it. Anytime you physically learn something new, from snowboarding to skiing to trying yoga to anything, as a middle-aged adult, you will be consciously incompetent because your body...
Right. Doesn't have the motor planning for it.
Doesn't have the motor planning yeah. for it. So this is one thing. Where in your life are you consciously incompetent? There needs to be one area where you yeah. say, I'm conscious of my incompetence, and that is fueling for me as a yeah. leader. The second step is from conscious incompetence that you go actually up to conscious competence.
Sure.
Right? So now you're conscious that you're more competent in that arena, whether it's CrossFit or if you're an extrovert, being quiet in meetings, or if you are somebody that doesn't like to give direct advice, like do this and tell people what to do for yeah. you to actually be directive. Because I can tell you there are some people, like myself, a lot of times I need direction. Like, tell me what to do versus don't, you know.
I cannot relate to that at all. Yeah. I have no problem telling people what to yeah. do.
And then after you're consciously competent, then you kind of move to this very beautiful unconscious competence, mm-hmm. which means that you're just performing something very well, competently, but you're just not aware of it.
You're like a flow state.
You're in a flow state. Mm-hmm. And that feels good mm-hmm. only for a certain amount of time. Because mm-hmm. as human beings, we always want to grow. For a why, if you think about this, your relationships flow this way too. You're yeah. conscious of the incompetence of their team, and then you're conscious of the competence
yeah.
that it of the teams at work. And then sometimes, you know, you become unconscious of how well certain things are happening. And it's always... And
then you have to move.
Then you have to move. Or a friend says, hey, I'm sick.
Yeah.
Or for me, sometimes I go on romantic gushes where I make you conscious of how phenomenally fucking blessed we are or whatever it is. I have to burn something or do a ritual yes. that you're giving in game for. But it's helpful to know which one you're in. And it's if you're unconscious of it, it's helpful to have, you know, methods for remembering, I think. So that's just a little... four stages of leader empowerment, transition, how change happens.
Yeah. There has to be some discomfort.
Absolutely. All right. So what's one more thing you'd like us to know about how leaders who might really have a core need for communal unity and teamwork, what's something, one more thing you'd like?
I think... when I've been able to make the biggest connection with people is when I have not shied away when they are upset. Mm. So if someone comes in and they're upset about something in the office or they're upset about something in their home, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I have boundaries. Like, you still have to do your job. Like, but there are moments where... you can blow somebody off because you're busy, mm-hmm. or you can take 5 minutes and listen to them in silence, like yeah. truly actively listen to someone
yeah.
and help them pull a few strings together, see these patterns. And it's everything to that person.
Yeah.
And you know what? The whole organization did not grind to a halt.
Yeah.
Because you were 5 minutes late to something.
Yeah.
But that person felt heard and seen, and they show up better the next day.
Yeah.
Or they show up at all.
So this is beautiful for me to hear you say, because you are a no bullshitter, go-getter, passionate, intense leader who walks in and controls environment. And when you're actually expressing the full version of yourself as a leader. It is bringing that why into focus. It is you being your individual badass. You got this sort of rooted trunk stuff. And then you're embracing how connected you are. So you're moving towards that more helper, mm-hmm. that more loving, attentive figure that holds space for mm-hmm. people's emotional pain. And so that's awesome to see you, those two coming together, that you need that to be in your love code at work. Because there's no doubt about it that we have love for our work.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You shouldn't be there if you don't.
Right? There we go.
Please just go somewhere.
You gotta love the team. Go someplace where that you can be loved. Go join the team.
Make widgets somewhere. And
all right. Well, thanks, Julie.
Thanks
for saying yes.
Feels good to be back in LaValvo.
It feels good.
And to not be driving, actually, because we've missed some turns doing podcasts in the past.
I am not that great of a driver when I'm not podcasting. And then when I am podcasting, I think I go up a notch. It improves.
Your speed goes up a notch.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Cognitive dissonance. I have to rescue my ego. Thanks for keeping us in your attention for the entire duration of the podcast. That's an assumption on my part, but at least you're here at the end. So I want to say thank you for partnering and teaming up with us. And if you're interested in this podcast and you want to check out other episodes, most of them can be found on the Executive Shaman podcast on my website, drcrystalwhite.com. So thanks for listening. And until then, may you be whole and healthy and happy.